this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be speaking again. My name's Sam. I'm on staff here at church, and I'm the Worship and Creative Arts Ministry Leader. And so as Jacqueline has already alluded to, during the summer and our summer Eucharist gatherings, we've got a little bit of space just to think about our culture as a church, and Jacqueline's already listed the six cultures. These are things that we really value as a church, things that we already see happening in our midst and that we want to call out and say, this is really great, and we want to encourage that and to cultivate it. But also there's a sense of aspiration as well with these cultures. These might be things that we just think God is inviting us into and that we want to see more of in our community. And so last week, John kicked us off with mission, which is a really, really great place to start. And he gave us this fantastic example and story of the Apollo 11 mission, and that had a mission objective, which was to land humans on the moon. And that it took this huge, momentous movement of people, requiring hundreds of thousands of people all involved, all pulling in the same direction to make it happen. And so it's quite fitting, actually, that we're following on from last week. We're doing a culture of discipleship this week. And I was just thinking during the week that the mission and the goal and the objective of the Apollo 11 mission that we learned about last week was to get humans onto the moon. And as we heard, it took a whole host of different people and different areas of expertise to get that to happen. But I was thinking at the same time, what was it that those astronauts were also relying on to actually physically get them there? And well, it was a rocket. And I was thinking about this. If God's mission is a goal to which he's ultimately taking us, then discipleship is kind of like the rocket that's going to get us there. Or to use an image that might feel a little bit more down to earth, think about a car. If you get into a car, you have a destination, you have an end point in mind, you might plug it into your sat-nav, you've got a goal. But you wouldn't get very far at all in that car if it didn't have an engine. Or at least if you weren't using the car and you weren't using the engine in the way that it was designed to be. I have a friend back at home who is infamous in his clumsiness. And one time he was taking a journey along a motorway and he was wondering why his car was like screaming at him, why his car was like vibrating and shaking. And he was wondering, oh no, is it going to break down? And so after about 15 minutes wondering what is this noise, he realized that he'd been driving 70 miles per hour down the motorway the whole time in third gear. And so I wonder, and this is a real broad generalization here, but I wonder if for a long time now it has felt like the church is this wonderful car in mint condition with a limited edition color, shiny alloys and leather seats and a great sound system, air conditioning, and the mother of all luxuries as well, a heated steering wheel. But maybe it's got no engine. And maybe it feels like we're grinding it out in third gear. Do you ever feel like your spiritual life is a bit like trying to drive to a destination, but with no engine? And I want to think about discipleship this morning being that engine. So we're going to look at, briefly, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. And it says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brothers John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And so this is an account of Jesus beginning to call his first disciples to him. And this word disciple in the Greek is mathetes. It means a learner or a pupil, one who follows another's teachings or way of life. But a really great way to unlock this word disciple that I want to think about this morning is to think of it as an apprentice. So discipleship, this little process of learning. There are three methods that sociologists and psychologists tell us that we learn. And the first is through information. Information is the receiving of the facts. It's teaching, it's theory, it's ideas. We process it in our heads. And very often, this is something that we get through the classroom or the lecture. We get it through reading, through the textbook, through podcasts, media, a sermon maybe. Anything that can communicate a piece of knowledge or information to us that we then process in our heads, this is an information learning. And I think we get how this works. This is the model for our classrooms and our schools. This is the model for our universities, very much so. But the question I want to ask and just have a think about is, has society, and very often the church itself, put an overemphasis perhaps on this kind of learning? And I was thinking about it, another way to get at this would be if discipleship, this process of learning, if all it was just to get the right information into our heads, then theoretically the internet age should be producing the most discipled Christians in history. Like, we've never had so much information. We've never had so many books and articles and sources of information on theology, on God, on church history, on doctrine, on all sorts of different things, history. Never have we had so much information so widely accessible. And I reckon as well, you could probably find a lifetime's worth of sermons online as well. You could just, for the rest of your life, just listen to sermons on loop and like you'd never run out of them. So we've got all this information. But if discipleship is just about getting the right information into our heads, why is it then that very often we feel like we're grinding it out in third gear? Why is it that we feel like our discipleship, our following of Jesus can feel a little bit shallow or lacking or going nowhere or bearing little fruit? Getting the right information is really vital, so I'm not saying that we just throw away that kind of learning. But is there more to being a disciple of Jesus than this? And so another way that psychologists think that we learn is through apprenticeship. And I believe apprenticeship is pretty undervalued in our society today as an idea. It used to be one of the primary means that we would learn a trade or learn a skill. It's not just about getting the right information into your head, but it's also about how to put that information and that learning into practice, practical application. And very often you do this by watching it being done by a master or someone who's really experienced at it. And then having seen them do it, you then get to do it yourself. And the supervision of the master or the person who's more experienced at it than you, they can give you feedback, they can give you encouragement, they can tell you how to do it better, maybe correct you where you've gone wrong. A great way of thinking about apprenticeship is the phrase learning at the elbow. So just picture for a second, imagine being an apprentice of a master woodworker, standing there right at his elbow as he planes the wood smooth, watching closely as he chisels out perfect dovetail joints. You can then have a go yourself, and under his guidance, he'll teach you how to work with the grain of the wood. This stuff that requires hands and experience, there's no substitution for that. You can't really learn that necessarily in a textbook or watch hundreds of hours of YouTube videos and think that you can now make a table. As well as being on staff here at church as well, I'm an artist, a painter, and so I was trained to do, I was at the art school. But I realized as I left art school that I think art education in this country at the moment is a little bit broken. And the model of that education used to be this idea of apprenticeship. When you think about some of the greatest artists who have ever lived, like Rembrandt or Michelangelo, very often they would have a whole studio of students, of learners, of younger artists who are learning the craft. They would learn the exact style that their master used, and they would paint it in the same way. They would imitate that style. And very often, actually, when we go into our museums today, the paintings that we see on the walls are very often actually not even touched by the master painters themselves. They were painted by their students, essentially. And so you'll get a little label that says, from the studio of Rembrandt. Today in the art world, we're obsessed with this idea of the lone genius and the guy who can, or the girl who can just like come up with amazing original ideas off the fly. And we don't really teach them in that way anymore. And that's how my experience at art school was just go be an artist. And everyone stood around being like, but how do we do that? And I wonder, in many ways, if the church has become good at making converts to Christianity, but terrible at creating disciples in that way, that we say, great, you're a Christian, you've confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you've decided to follow him, go be a Christian, and that's kind of it. Expecting maybe the information that we give them to be enough. And so the third way that we learn is through immersion. Immersion is about the environment that we're in when we're learning. Immersion is where you begin to intuitively learn by picking up things around you in the culture that you're in, the way people talk, the way they behave, their actions. It's in the context of relationships. It's the language that we use. It's the everyday. And it really contextualizes our learning, and we begin to see how the information and about the practical skills that we can pick up begin to connect, and we get to join the dots, and it makes sense. A great example of this is thinking about when a child learns a native language. They don't learn primarily through being given information, by being given a dictionary definition of words and being taught the mechanical processes of how to form words. Just from like an information point of view. No, they learn by hearing the language everywhere around them, every day from their family, from their friends at school, and just by a process of osmosis, they begin to pick that up and they begin to start to learn a language. A baby learns the word dada not by being taught how to make those particular sounds and by being given a dictionary definition for them to understand in their heads. They stumble across that phrase, dada, and then their father's face lights up, and they go, oh, that means something. Something happens. And so over time, with a little bit of help and encouragement, a child goes from making senseless noises to creating words and sentences and stringing thoughts together and having conversation. And so these three things, information, apprenticeship, and immersion, they create a really well-rounded experience of learning when you begin to feel like you're a disciple of something. You need to know the information, but you also need to learn how to put it into practice in the real world. And when this all happens in the context of an immersion environment, relationships, then we're really beginning to master something. But I wonder again, does this feel like the experience of church or of your Christian walk, your discipleship to Jesus? Does this feel like this describes how I've journeyed with Jesus so far? Or is there something more that you're after? Jesus is walking along the shore side of the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across some fishermen, and he says to them, come and follow me. And those few words contain an invitation into discipleship, this process of learning to be like Jesus. He's inviting them into this immersive process of apprenticeship to himself, his way of life. And these relatively uneducated, from not particularly special backgrounds, guys who were just fishermen, just ordinarily working people, through this process of discipleship and learning to be like Jesus, it would launch a movement that was going to change the world to where we are today. When Jesus is walking along the shoreside, these men would have spotted him, and when he said, come and follow me, they would have understood a little bit of what that meant. They would have seen that Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher of the law. And so what we understand from rabbinic culture in the first century is rabbis would have a group of students or apprentices, and they would go around with the rabbi wherever he went. And so the disciples would have understood when Jesus said, come and follow me, they would have understood that that's what he was inviting them into, to come and be his apprentice. And so the disciples of Jesus were with him constantly during his ministry. And in the Gospels, we can actually see examples of Jesus hitting these various levels of learning, this information, apprenticeship, immersion. We see him doing this all the time with his disciples. And they definitely received the right information from Jesus. He definitely did a lot of teaching. The very next chapter in Matthew's Gospel after this that we've just read is the Sermon on the Mount. And it says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples, or apprentices, came to him and he began to teach them. And then for the rest of the chapter and the next, we get the Sermon on the Mount, which we normally think of as Jesus standing up in front of a whole crowd of people. And sure, there probably would have been other people that joined them, and there may have been a crowd there as well, but he primarily addresses it first to his disciples. So they definitely learned from him the right information. They were definitely taught the right things. And so that's something that we don't just drop at a heart, but it wasn't just things that he taught. The disciples are with Jesus so often that they're hearing everything he says but also they're seeing everything that he does. They were with him when he performed miracles. They were with him when he healed the sick. They were with him when he cast out demons. They were with him when he preached the good news. They were with him when he treated people on the margins with dignity and respect, when he how he loved people and how he treated people, how he operated in his relationships. And so they saw Jesus do all this stuff, the master at work, but then they also got to go out and do it as well. In Mark's gospel, it tells us that the 12 disciples, he called the 12 disciples to him, and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. So he gives them a few instructions and he says, go out and try this stuff for yourself. All this stuff that you see me do and model, I want you to go and have a go. And so they go out into the different various towns nearby. And when they come back, they have stories of how the stuff that Jesus did actually worked. They have stories of healings. They have stories of how they preached the good news of Jesus and people were coming to faith in him. And this is apprenticeship in action. And then Jesus would have given feedback. He would have given encouragement. That's really great. This is how you do it. But what really ties this whole experience together for the disciples isn't just that they've got the right information or that they're seeing what he does and are getting to do it for themselves. It's also the fact that they're fully immersed in an environment that Jesus is creating. They have constant access to his life. Wherever he goes, they go. They follow him everywhere. Whoever he stays with, that's where they stay. Who he heals, where he preaches. When he gets up early in the morning to pray, they would have seen him playing that rhythm out in his life. When he takes time to withdraw and rest, they would have withdrawn with him. They share meals with him, celebrate festivals, they go to parties. All the everyday stuff, the in-between bits that maybe we don't even necessarily get to hear of in the Gospels, they were with him in all of that time. And so in this immersion, can you imagine being with Jesus for that amount of time? The disciples couldn't help but pick up intuitively, organically, what it is like to be like Jesus, almost without even thinking about it. In the same way that a child begins to learn the language just by it happening around them, they begin to pick this up. This is what it means to be immersed in the life of Jesus. So do you see how this learning process, this discipleship to Jesus, becomes like this engine, this movement that's going to really rocket it us somewhere? Get us to the moon, so to speak. Its goal is to make us more like Jesus. That's its end goal. That's the mission. And the other things that come along with that mission as well that that John talked about last week, about seeing the restoration of all things, it's all part of this goal. But we learn to do it in our apprenticeship to Jesus. We spend time with him. We be with Jesus. We become more like him, and we do the things that he did. A group of people who are beginning to look more and more like Jesus Christ every day. We get the right information about what he says and who he says about God and the kingdom of God and about himself. We also get to learn at the elbow of the master. And we get to spend time immersed in his presence and in his way of life. And this is really the culture that we want to live out as a community. This is the engine that we want to be driving us forward. As we gather together here on Sundays, but not just on Sundays, as we gather during the week as well in missional communities, when we gather around the table as families and friends, whether it's in the student halls, whether it's in cafes, whether it's when we're doing the shopping. As John talked about last week, all these areas of our lives, that's where this process of discipleship can take place. It's not just here when you're hearing information from the pulpit. And so that is it's in a sense, this is something that we're trying to live out every day and something that we're trying to encourage with our missional communities, but it's also something that we want to long for as well. We want to long more for this discipleship to Jesus, for it to become this engine, this powerful force in our lives and our walks with him. So why don't we just pray now, and I'll pray for us in that. Jesus, we thank you that we have the privilege of learning under you. We have the privilege of recognizing that you are the master. You are the one who can do all things. You are a perfect human, and that we, in our own imperfect ways, are learning to be more and more like you every single day. Yeah, we pray, God, that as we meet more and more together, whether that's here on Sundays, whether that's informally throughout the week, or whether that's as part of our missional communities, that we would begin to create this environment that we can immerse ourselves in, of being with you, being in your presence. And God, as well, as we go out and we speak to friends and we spend time with family, and as we go about our work and our days, that we begin to find opportunities to do the things that you did and to have a go ourselves, praying for people, seeking justice, loving the marginalized. And we pray, God, that as we do this more and more, that this process of discipleship, this process of learning what it means to be more and more like you, that we would begin to see the fruits of that in our community here, that, yeah, God, that this process of discipleship would just be this engine that just is powerful and just gets us moving into the places that you would want to take us. Yeah, we love your presence, Jesus. Would you just teach us more and more about yourself and what it means to be an apprentice to you? Amen.